Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Sidebar with Cindy
on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy C.F. Fansale. Today's Tuesday, and it's Fitness Tuesday. As you know, we are working towards the Kaya FM Legacy Walk, which is happening in just over a week, Saturday the 12th of October. I hope you've registered, because registrations do close soon. And I'll be there, so I look forward to seeing many of you there. Tonight, we're discussing sex and fitness, so don't go anywhere.
Let the good doctor give you some expert advice.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan, with me, Cindy Sue Fansale. And tonight is Fitness Tuesday, and we're speaking about sex and fitness. So I know that, you've been following my journey with exercising. So I went from being a lazy sedentary person. It's now week 4 of me exercising, and guys, it's a lot. Like, Isola, I was walking up and down my driveway, and my calves are sore, my back is sore, everything is sore, and I'm feeling better. So I'm not going to lie and pretend that there haven't been any benefits. I am feeling so much better. But you know, there's another benefit of exercising, and this is what we're going to be speaking about tonight. We're speaking about the effect that fitness has on your sex life, and how it actually improves your sex life. So I'm joined tonight. I'm joined telephonically by Alfred Kendrick. He's from the United States, and he's a fitness sexpert. So he'll be sharing his expertise around that. I'm also joined by fitness fanatic Tepo Khame. He's in studio with me, and we'll be talking about, you know, exercises and, you know, which ones are really good for your sex life and so on. So yeah, I hope we get lots of questions from the Afropolitans. You can call us on 086-000-959. You can use the hashtag SideBarCindy and KFM Talk on social media. But tonight is about sex and fitness. So before we start taking your calls, I'd like to welcome Tepo to the studio. Hi, Tepo, and thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you work at Gravity.
I am part of Team Gravity Core.
Okay, yes. And what do you guys do?
So Team Gravity Core is a calisthenics and street workout outfit. What they did is they actually brought calisthenics and street workout to South Africa, and what they are doing is helping grow the brand and the awareness of the sport. So basically what calisthenics is using your own body weight and maneuvering it around obstacles such as bars and poles, and just using that as your weapon. So basically your body is your gym and the world is your gym.
So you are the guys that will find a wall and do cartwheels on the wall and so on.
Pretty much. So yes, they'll do handstands, something called a muscle up on a bar, which is very explosive pull-ups. But since then, I've then graduated to doing bodybuilding and all sorts of other sports. So I would say I'm quite well-rounded.
Oh, and so your core must be really, really, really strong.
These days, it's okay. It's pretty average. But yes, I think it is.
So can you do a handstand on one hand?
No, on one hand, no.
Can you do a burpee?
Oh, burpees are my favorite. I eat them for breakfast. Of
course.
Oh, my
word. You know, the day I can do a burpee, I must talk to my husband. He must buy me a car the day I do a burpee. The way things are going, I can, like, just walking around that field 6 times. I've got a field across the road from my house. I get back home, katele, tie. I don't want anything. Like, I actually get angry sometimes. Like, why am I doing this? And there you are doing burpees for breakfast.
Yeah, but also I trained my way into it, and I heard you say that you're on a fitness journey. So how about you can challenge yourself and say that by X date, you'll be able to do one burpee.
Yeah, by 2022.
I'm saying 16 December.
Oh, no, that's too soon. but I must say, I'm enjoying it. There are days when I don't really enjoy it, but I am enjoying it. And I'm enjoying challenging myself. I think that's the whole thing about fitness, is that, you know, you make a decision and you just do it. So I made a decision that I don't want to die. I want to live long and I want to be there for my kids, and I'm just going to do it. My kids are very excited. I think them seeing me in gym clothes and stuff excites them for some reason. I guess they can't believe that their mommy's actually doing this. But yeah, so far so good.
No, that's good. And I think you hit it on the head. It's about taking health and wellness seriously. And I mean, there are different levels to exercising. Like, the competitive sports take it to the extreme, but there are also other things that you can do which are very comfortable for your lifestyle. Still challenge you, but you know, it's not you spending 2 hours in the gym. It's you doing 45 minutes of, you know, walking around that field across your house, playing with the kids, but just being active.
And at what fitness level would you have to be at to start with calisthenics?
Yeah, calisthenics. Essentially, you can start at any level. It just means that then your progression curve is a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take a little bit longer for you to master the weight of your body. So it also depends what kind of condition is your body in. Do you have a small frame, carry small weight, then you would get used to your body a little bit quicker than that. But if you're at my size, which is what, 1.6 meters mm-hmm. by 95 kilograms, and haven't been active, I think it would take a little bit longer to be able to master the body.
And if you're over 100 kilograms like I am?
Well, what I would then do is help you to reduce your body weight, the weight that you don't need, and then guide you through step-by-step progression programs to actually get you to do like a squat, a push-up, a burpee, my favorite, and a sit-up. Because, okay. I mean, those are really the fundamentals of it. And then everything else, I think, is luxurious on top of that.
Well, I like the fact that you're encouraging. At least you didn't say to me, well, no, I don't see I don't see you doing calisthenics, but at least you encouraged me. So we joined online, as I said, by Alfred Kendrick, who's a fitness expert who's based in the US. And, you know, he'll be telling us about you know, why he started working in this field. And then, of course, we'll be taking calls and getting advice about how to, you know, to ramp up our sex lives by getting fitter. So thank you so much for joining us, Alfred. I know that there's a bit of a time difference, but yeah, welcome to the show.
Hey, doctor. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So, Alfred, so what's your background? Are you in the medical field? You know, what do you do?
I actually have a pretty diverse background as well, and I was listening to the street workout and the bodyweight training, and that sounds like an amazing form of fitness, and I'm glad you guys have that there in South Africa. My background comes from, I do about 6 different martial arts, as well as I have my degree in kinesiology and medical massage therapy and some other movement type stuff. I'm an expert at capoeira. I'm a professional acrobat performer. And I do a few other things as well that's really helped me understand the human body.
Okay. And your interest in sex and fitness, what sparked that?
So what sparked that was essentially I was working with a lot of older and maybe even some elderly people, and my workouts were just really proving to improve their lifestyle. And I started to get a lot of compliments from my clients saying that their sexual lifestyle has improved and gotten so much better. And it was something that they wished they could improve, but they didn't know how to go about the process. And almost sort of naturally doing my workout, their movements in the bedroom got better. And it just kind of sparked the idea. It was like, hey, why don't I pursue this and, you know, help people, you know, get better in the bedroom.
Okay. And so sex definitely counts as exercise, right?
Excuse me?
Sex counts as exercise.
Sex does count as exercise, but my program and my workout doesn't actually focus on sex being an exercise. It more teaches people which exercises they can do in the gym or at home to help them improve their physical performance in the bedroom. So your workout at the gym, the same, some similar exercises that you would do to tone your butt or to, you know, stretch out your muscles in yoga, you would then learn how those movements apply in the bedroom to improve sexual performance.
Okay, that's great. So just give us one example of you know, an exercise that, you know, you can do at home or at the gym that benefits you in the bedroom.
Like the other gentleman mentioned about training and core and stuff like that is, you know, the sexual organs are centered around your core. So it is key to have a strong core, and not just strength of the core, neuromuscular coordination. That's the body's ability to coordinate and move the core, you know, to certain timing, maybe a pace or rhythm, and flexibility to the hips and the movement. So something as simple as a pelvic raise, I think most listeners know what that exercise is. A pelvic raise and the ability to change the angles, the depth, and the movement of the pelvic raise can be key into improving sexual performance in the bedroom.
And if someone is overweight, I mean, I'm quite chubby, Alfred, and I'm working towards fitness, and obviously one of the benefits of working out is going to be losing weight. But if someone is overweight, sex can be quite challenging, especially when it comes to different positions. What advice would you have for someone that's obviously working towards losing the excess weight? What can they what positions would work best for people, especially people with big tummies?
The thing is when it comes to sex, there's two people involved, so there's different factors, you know what I mean? So if one person's overweight but the other person's underweight, then there's going to be some different type of, there's a different match or a different relationship. If one person's shorter, if one person's taller, then there's a different match or different type of relationship. So it kind of also depends on your partner and your partner's capability as well as yours. So it's a little bit more of a collaborative effort. But when it comes to how you perform in the bedroom, you really want to just do a little bit of a simple kind of like diagnosis of yourself and kind of consider, all right, what positions are easy for me and what positions are hard for me? And then you go, if this position is hard for me, what I do in my program, we identify those muscles, you know what I mean? Or the things that are difficult, you know what I'm saying? And once we identify that, then we can go from there. So for a woman maybe being overweight, maybe like the doggy style position may be quite easy, you know, then the partner can do the work if it's a male partner, you know what I mean? Because you can just prop your hands down, you can get down on all fours and just kind of rock your body weight front to back, you know what I mean? Where or even like lying face down could be easier, you know what I mean? But it just really depends on what's going on. A side lying position could work as well, you know. You can find a lot of comfort maybe propping a couple pillows, getting into a side lying position, but then that'll also come to your partner and your partner's ability to move and maneuver.
Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Sidebar Cindy on KFM 95.9. And I'm chatting to Alfred Kendrick. He's a fitness expert based in the US, and he's joining us telephonically. And I'm also chatting to Tsepo Khame, and he does calisthenics. And they're both fitness experts, and we're talking about sex and fitness and how fitness actually improves your sex life. Alfred, you know, coming back to you and you know, talking about positions, I spend a lot of time on social media, and a lot of the times women complain about being on top. So what exercises could we do to give us the stamina to get on top and stay on top?
So getting on top is an interesting thing. Most people will experience pain in their knees initially, but there's also comes to the hip mobility and the freedom to open in the hip, maybe even some lower back pain. So one of the things that is great to learn is how the knees must follow the direction of the toes. You know, if your knees and toes aren't going in the same direction, it actually causes for more knee pain.
So your knees and toes,
Yes. So for example, if you're riding and the woman's on top and she's riding and her feet are actually on the ground, she's not on her knees, but let's say she's on the ground, if her knees and her toes are going in the same direction, there's going to be a lot less knee pain, you know what I mean, and probably a lot less hip pain. But if her knees and toes are kind of slightly turned in opposite angles or opposite directions, then there's a little bit more pain. Now, if the woman is on her knees and she's riding from that position, then there goes the, that plays more into the ability to move the hip, which is, if you notice like things from like yoga, like hip circles and even like from sort of like African dance and dance hall dance, a lot of the hip movement, a lot of hip circles, then that becomes more of a thing of hip mobility and also flexibility. So I would definitely say frog stretch from yoga. You guys can look that up. And that's stretching out the groin muscles and the hip flexor muscles, really helps with being able to ride and find mobility. And another thing you can do is shifting the weight from your upper body to your lower body. You know what I mean? So sometimes putting a little more weight in the arms to continue the ride and then shifting the weight back to the lower body, the knees and the hips to do some movement too. So by transferring the weight from the arms back to the lower body and then back to the arm to the upper body, that kind of gives each body part a rest, you know, so you can get a little bit more longevity in your sexual movement from there.
Okay, well, that's great information. So the frog position, that's a yoga position that would help you to become more flexible.
Kind of a frog pose. It's kind of like a modified split or modified straddle. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you just open your legs and sit on the ground kind of like a frog, and with your legs open out to the side, but your knees are bent. And you just kind of slowly stretch your groin muscles and your hip flexor muscles and a few other muscles from that position. And that kind of really helps the mobility in that position, because part of it is being immobile and part of it is being non-flexible, and then there's some strength and endurance factors that come in later.
Okay, well, we're taking notes, and I'm busy writing furiously. Coming back to you, Tsepo. So, I mean, Alfred has outlined, you know, the some of the important things like flexibility and being able to stretch your hips and so on. What exercises could we do with you, calisthenics wise, that could help a person become more flexible and
Hi, Dr. Alfred. So you pretty much hit the nail on the head going into the science of it and why to do it. I would pretty much look at using your yoga exercises or actually attending a yoga class, which then helps with the suppleness of the body and also gaining strength in putting it in positions which it's not used to be putting or not used to be in. When I was doing a quick Google search about which exercises to do, which double up as exercises in the bedroom, I was squinting my eyes because some of those, you know, positions are like, you need to be quite flexible, one, and strong on the woman's side and on the guy's side. So I would definitely look at your base being your sit-ups, your push-ups, your squats, lunges as well, and also just really focusing on doing the cardio.
So cardio is important.
Yep.
And just a disclaimer, you know, if you have any below 18s with an earshot, this is, you know, quite an informative show, but it's a sex show. So if you want your kids to hear any of the stuff, please keep them out of earshot of the show. I should have made this disclaimer at the beginning, but I'm making it now. So yeah, it's a grown-up show for tonight, and we're talking about sex and fitness. And yeah, so we're taking your calls on 086-000-959, and we're asking, which sex position makes you feel like you're really working out? And we're learning. I'm learning a lot of stuff tonight about sex and fitness. But I also want to know from you, you know, what makes you feel as if you're really working out when you're having sex? And I'm joined on the line by Alfred Kendrick. He's a US-based fitness expert. And I also have Tsepo Khame in studio, who works at Gravity Core. And he's also a fitness fanatic, does calisthenics, which, you must Google. It looks like a lot of work.
Calisthenics is one of the things I've done. Yes.
It looks like a lot of work. But yeah, taking calls on 086-000-959. So Tsepo, coming back to you. So if a person who's had a sedentary lifestyle like I have decides to change their lives, what steps would you advise them to take? What's the easiest thing to change? The first easiest thing to change.
Well, the first easiest thing to change is, this is taking inspiration from my mother, is know your numbers. So you go to a health dietitian or a doctor or for a health checkup, and you get to know what your numbers are, your sugar levels,
your cholesterol,
exactly.
Your body fat percentage.
Correct. And then from there, I would go and see a dietitian, somebody who can help you alter your eating behavior.
Because that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So they need to educate you on what the foods are that will help you get towards this new wellness that you're going for. And then I would then look at the how active you are or the type of activities you do to complement that lifestyle. So if I would put it on a bias, I would put the bias on eating.
Yes.
And then secondary would be the physical application of your body.
So we'll be taking more of your calls after this break. 086-000-959 is the number to call. And tonight on Sidebar Cindy, we're talking about sex and fitness. We'll be back after this.
Kaya FM.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of Afropolitan. Welcome back to Sidebar Cindy with me, Dr. Cindy Siva Fansale, chatting about sex and fitness. It is Fitness Tuesday. We are working towards getting fit for the Kaya FM Legacy Walk, which is taking place on Saturday, 12 October. I hope you've got your tickets. I'm 4 weeks into training. It's going quite well. And tonight, we're talking about sex and fitness. I'm learning a bit more about why it's important for me to be exercising. I'm joined by Tsepo Khame from Gravity Core in studio. And we're also joined online by Alfred Kendrick, a fitness expert that's based in the US. We're taking your calls on 086-00-00959, and we have Albert calling us from Joburg. Hi, Albert, and welcome to Sidebar Cindy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. It's such a nice show. Thank you very much for that. I just want to find out about stamina. Somebody told me that women who go to the gym regularly are sometimes very difficult to please. What I want to find out first, is that true? The second thing is that for men, are there exercises that, or can stamina be improved with exercise?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Albert. Thanks. I'll ask Albert Kendrick to answer that. Albert, did you get those questions?
Yes, I was kind of missing the first question. If he could repeat the first question.
Okay, so the first question was, Albert has heard that women that exercise regularly are difficult to please in bed. So he wants to know if that is true. And of course, the second question is about stamina.
I think that each person is different. I don't think it's necessarily that they work out. I mean, I just think every person, every human being is different and have different pleasures. But stamina is something that women tend to have more of than men in the bedroom. And a lot of times the male is doing the work, but it just kind of quite depends. But yeah, stamina is something that all men should work on improving. That's where, from how the muscles contract to also longevity, you know what I mean, as opposed to coming to ejaculation. But I think it is key to work on stamina, which is basically doing endurance exercises. But when it comes to having sex in the bedroom, the movements like being on a bicycle or doing jogging or something like that, that does improve your endurance. That does improve your stamina, yes. But not all of that stamina will directly relate to sexual performance, because you're using slightly different muscles and you're doing a different position. For example, a swimmer who can swim, you know, miles and miles and miles doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the runner who's going to run for miles and miles and miles. You get what I'm saying? And a cyclist who may be able to cycle for miles may not also be able to run for miles. So everything won't translate. Although the cardiovascular level may be higher and the endurance is kind of higher than the average, and it will definitely improve from those exercises, but they will need to actually train sort of more in that position as well, like whether the guy could practice moving in a plank, which is some of the exercises I teach, and pelvic motions and things like that. You would definitely need to work on stamina within the positions that you're using in the bedroom, if that makes sense.
Okay. And Albert, would over-exercising affect your sex life?
Would over-exercising
affect your sex life? You know, is there too much exercise, and would it be detrimental to your sex life?
I think too much exercising can be detrimental to anyone, but I don't really think that's a problem with many people. I think most people are worked out and underserved in that realm. So I don't really have much of fear of people working out too much. Most often that people are doing too little and expecting too much. But exercising and fitness will definitely improve what you do in the bedroom and definitely have some effects in general. I mean, it's changing your ability to have blood flow. So, I mean, people could be more aroused because the blood flow is going up. You know, the hormones are moving faster through the system. You have more hormones. You have a healthier endocrine system. You're having a healthier circulatory system. You're having a healthier respiratory system. Mm. And when you're having sex, all of those systems are working
at the same
simultaneously
time. Yeah.
Very hard, right? So, you know, exercise is definitely key and super important to performance in the bedroom.
And supplements, would they have an effect on your sex life? I know that there is a bit of a problem in South Africa with some of the bodybuilders and some exercise fanatics using steroids. So, you know.
Right. Well, like the thing is that, you know, you do have a high sensitivity to supplements. You know what I mean? And that could go anything from how you eat. The gentleman earlier was mentioning diet, which is super key. So how you eat is very important, because we are what we eat, and our body can only execute the amount of energy that we put into it and the right energy. If you put the wrong fuel in your car is probably not going to run. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if you put great fuel in your car will probably run better, likely run better. So that's good to understand. And yes, certain supplements, especially like artificial testosterone supplements, do affect the sexual system. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And it actually kind of depresses that system, and it slows down. A lot of things will happen in the bedroom. So yes, for sure. Just to be simple, you will definitely have some negative effects if people are doing testosterone.
Okay, so you're listening to Sidebar Cindy on KFM 95.9. I'm talking to Alfred Kendrick. He's a fitness expert based in the US. And I'm also talking to Tsepo Khame from Gravity Core. And tonight is, you know, Fitness Tuesday, and we're talking about fitness. And tonight's topic is sex and fitness. So if you have kids under the age of 18, please keep them out of earshot of this conversation, because we are speaking about, you know, matters of a sexual nature. Tsepo, you know, during the break, we spoke about the effect that exercising has on your mental health, you know, how it affects your depression, how it affects anxiety. And, you know, you were commenting about that.
Yes. I was saying that, you know, we're saying that sex is a taboo subject, or something that is whispered about behind closed doors. But something else which is not really spoken about is mental wellness, which is depression and anxiety, which is actually something that I have, so which is very close to my heart when I speak about these things. Mm. That, you know, exercise is one thing, that's great. The bedroom is another. But mentally, we always forget that. That is a muscle. The brain is something that we need to take care of. And sometimes, you know, the chemicals that the body produces puts it out of our realm of control. It's not just about changing your thoughts or thinking that, you know, today's going to be a good day and it goes happy. There's a whole lot more that goes into it. So what we're talking about was that the mental state actually affects the performance in the bedroom.
Mm.
And I mean, even just from the very basics of being aroused, because... Mm. For example, you may not want to be touched by anyone because you want to withdraw, you want to be alone, and it has nothing to do with the attractive nature of the person in front of you, which is also why it's also important to educate the person that you're with. So you need to learn about yourself so that you can educate the person that you're with on how to deal with you. So it's a very interesting ecosystem, which is why I jumped at the opportunity to actually speak about this or to be part of this conversation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm living with depression as well. And I know that during the darkest, you know, the darkest time, especially after you've just started medication and you're still getting into it and the side effects and so on, you know, sex is the last thing on your mind. So you can go for weeks, you can go for months without engaging in sexual intercourse. And exercise, you know, when you eventually start exercising again, that helps you. It helps you produce, you know, the happy hormones that helps you to get better.
Yes, I very much agree with that. I used to use exercise as a way of running away from my mind, you know, chasing the pain, those hard reps, that very hard kind of workout, always competing, whether it was capoeira, weightlifting, calisthenics, everything I did very hard, because with that release of endorphins and such, there's a certain pain which I then focus on, which is not inside of me as such, in my mind, it's on my body. It's trying to prove myself that I can do better, I can be better. So I actually had to decouple my training from that because it was actually affecting me.
Mm.
So it's very important to, one, compartmentalize those things so that you can figure out what is happening inside your mind and treat it. So I actually have to take my mind to the gym. I see a therapist every once in a while. And in fact, this week has been particularly hard. So I actually need to make a time to see my therapist, which is something that I need to be self-aware of. Sometimes I don't want to, but the thing is, it's not about what I want to do or don't want to do. The accountability sits with me, but at the end of the day, it needs to be managed.
Yeah, and you have a partner, and, you know, communication is key. So your partner understands when you're dipping and you don't feel like having sex, there's a reason. There's a reason why you're going through that.
And even then, it's a very big undertaking for a partner to be with somebody who is, let's call it mentally, I don't want to say mentally unwell.
No, living with a mental illness.
Who has a mental condition. Mm. It is a very big undertaking. So if you are a person who doesn't want to, you know, take that on, I think it's also important for you to be honest and not subject yourself to that, maybe.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being so honest about that. Coming back to Alfred Kendrick, Alfred, you know, when a woman has, I'm going to speak about pregnancy and the postpartum period. You know, you've had a baby. You know, the 6 weeks period of abstinence has passed, and now you want to get back into everything, but your body has changed a lot. What exercises would you recommend, you know, for a woman that's just had a baby and is wanting to get back into sex?
I think, like, there's a realm of training, you know, like, it's two different things. There's one, if we're talking about the actual sexual organs, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And, yes. you know, the pelvic floor muscles and things around that. And there's actually quite a few options and programs out there. That's not necessarily my expertise, because I don't have that organ, you know what I mean? But there are some options out there that people can look up for, you know, that sort of situation.
Mm.
And then the other half is the stuff that I am an expert about, which is getting the body back conditioned and getting the body back strong. Like, from pregnancy, there's a lot of changes in the hips, and there may be a lot of elasticity and some things there, and there also could be some back pain and some things like that. So, again, just things that are easier to think about is maybe pelvic raises. There's another exercise I use called a crab press. There's a different type of pelvic raise, which is really great for improving the core and the butt and the lower back muscles. And you can actually trade between doing the hamstrings, the butt, or the lower back in the same exercise. So that's pretty great. And then even something is simple as doing, you know, no weight, just simple body weight squats and things like that, where maybe the woman is holding onto something where she could start to get that strength back in her legs and her quadricep muscles and things like that, that maybe if she was sedentary for a while, maybe she wasn't really using as much, you know what I mean? And the exercise is a little bit more visual. I have a lot of unique exercises that one would need to see. It's a little bit harder to explain over the phone.
Yeah.
But some of the easier exercises for people, I would say, you know, movement and mobility maybe in a plank, and movement and mobility in a pelvic raise, and even like some sort of like single leg pelvic raise exercises to work well. Like I said, I have a lot of unique exercises that are a little bit trickier to explain over the phone that I use for people.
Well, we'll be sharing your Facebook, you know, the Facebook page with everybody, because I know that you do have a page,
right?
And
right,
yeah, and you share a lot of information on your page,
right? And I have my Instagram as well, and I have a multitude of different things that people see on my Instagram, which is @fitart. And I'm redeveloping my sexual fitness stuff, because that's kind of been taking off lately. And I've been doing a lot of private coaching and things like that. But as far as my web presence, I'm relaunching everything pretty soon.
Okay, that's great. And I know you mentioned earlier on in the show that you work with the elderly, and they'd come back and given feedback on how exercising had yeah. improved their sex lives. So
right.
for the elderly, I mean, obviously your exercises for them aren't as intense as they would be for a younger person, or is
right?
Yeah.
I mean, let's think about sex in general and what's happening. You have you could easily have a guy who's pretty big, climbing on top of a small woman, bending her over backwards, putting her legs almost behind her head. I mean, that sometimes is a lot of work, you know, and some my workshops and my classes and stuff. What I do is I teach that male how much body weight he's bearing onto the female, you know, to help him understand, you know, to be considerate and cautious and careful, you know, at the same time being able to hold and support himself up so he's not getting so much weight onto the female. You get what I'm saying? And then for the female, definitely increasing the flexibility, because if you have a huge guy bearing down on top of you, you want to make sure that you're not pulling a muscle, you're not pulling your back out. So flexibility is key, and strength is key, because as the gentleman was saying about the mental state, which is, I think, is a very important factor no matter what you're doing, whether you're doing fitness or you're doing, you know, talking about sex or just healing yourself mentally, fitness is important. and healing yourself with fitness, the mental state is important. So I think the same thing goes into the bedroom. If the female is uncomfortable or if the male is uncomfortable or if they're in pain, then there's going to be a very hard time to reach orgasm for whoever's in pain. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? If you're in pain or if you're in discomfort,
you're not
and a muscle
it.
Is being pulled or tore or you're strained and, you know, you're having a spasm or a body cramping, you're just barely on the verge of you know, hanging in there, then to get to complete arousal and to get to the orgasm is going to be pretty tough because of the amount of pain.
Okay. So coming back to you, Tsepo, Khami, from Gravity Core, a person couldn't get injured during sex, right?
They can. just as the doc said, you know, being aware of the weight that you're bearing onto another human being's limbs as such is quite important. I mean, I personally haven't suffered any notable injuries, but I think the injuries that do happen is from being very excitable and then just kind of going in there and then you miss the hole, so to speak, and you hit the side lip and then you kind of bend, which is very painful for a guy.
I've heard that. It's very painful.
Yes, not extremely. It is. Or when you have a woman on top doing the reverse cowgirl and she goes up and down and it kind of slips out, she doesn't feel it, she lands on it, bends it a little bit. Yeah, so that's the extent of my... my...
That sounds very ouchy.
It is. But then it kind of helps you to be like, you know, be present. You don't have to go so crazy.
Right.
Yeah, because you want this to be sustainable, to last. I mean, it doesn't help if you're in a cast.
And backs? I mean, I'm sure you've had backache after a vigorous, you know, session of sex.
No. My back is pretty strong. So I can't speak to that. But I would say, especially in terms of stamina, like what the doc says, you know, just working out more in that position. I call it match game fitness. Mm-hmm. Being, you know, getting stronger and fitter in the actual position. I mean, sometimes, so you get different kinds of girls. They want it in different kinds of ways. And I think amongst guys groups, we'll joke about it of when a girl says, you know, she wants you to go harder. And you're like, well, this is as hard as I'm going.
Oh, man.
and then you go that hard and it's for 30 seconds and you're sweating and you have to stop. So kind of to avoid those situations, just get the fitness up.
Okay, well, we'll be back on Kai FM on Sidebar Cindy after this break.
Dance at A.
Kaya FM, home of the Afropolitan.
You're listening to Sidebar Cindy on Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. We have about 20 minutes of the show left, but before that, you know, before we carry on, coming up at 8 p.m. will be Sumitra Naidu with My Money and Me, and she's in the studio to tell me what's up, what's coming up on her show at 8 p.m.
So, thanks, Cindy. So, we've got an interesting show lined up on My Money Lessons. We're going to be talking to Kathleen Mavunga, and she's a businesswoman, and we want to know about how she got there. She's got a very successful beauty studio, and she's also doing a lot of work in the NGO nonprofit space as well to help young girls. She's a co-founder of Mighty Gold. So we're going to talk to her about her money lessons and what she can share with our audience tonight. And then we also are going to talk about the very controversial issue around this grade 9 exit. So we heard that announcement coming through. There's still a lot of confusion, but in our careers feature, we're going to unpack that and look at, you know, is it okay for youngsters that feel that, you know, academics is not the way for them and maybe they want to go into a trade. What are the options for them? Where can they go if they do decide to exit at grade 9? And we've got a really interesting conversation around traveling and what you should use, whether it's your credit card, your bank card, or carry cash. I think that's always useful. You know, we end up in trouble when we're overseas. Sometimes we lose all the cash that we have and we don't. And there's so much more that's on offer right now in terms of that. So we're going to unpack that and give you some good tips on what you should do when you're traveling.
Okay, so that's coming up at 8 p.m. on My Money at Me. And after 8, we have a new show, Late Night with Big Black. It's a perfect way to wind down to expertly selected music. And Big Black will be bringing his definitive voice and taste in soul music to the discerning Afropolitan listener from 9 p.m. to midnight. So that's a new show coming up after Sumitra Naidu's show, My Money and Me.
Medical issues, sex and family,
finance, parenting and emotional development.
Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. You're listening to Sidebar with Cindy with me, Cindy Siwe Fansale. It is Fitness Tuesday, and every Tuesday leading up to the Kaya FM Legacy Walk, we discuss all things fitness. And tonight's show is quite spicy. We're speaking about sex and fitness. And I have Tsepo Khame from Gravity Core Studio. And I also have Alfred Kendrick. He's a fitness expert based in the US, and he's on the line with us. If you've missed any of the show, you can go to kayafm.co.za, go to FM Rewind, and click on Sidebar with Cindy, and the podcast should be loaded very soon. But we've had an interesting conversation thus far, speaking about stamina and exercising and how it benefits your sex life. And I think the most important benefit of exercise for me is just it's a mental health. That, you know, over and above getting your heart, you know, working well and just general fitness, it's amazing what exercise does to your psyche. And Tsepo, you've explained how it's helped you a lot.
Yes, it definitely does have a big impact on the psyche. And I mean, one of the benefits of sex in itself is boosting your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll speak from a guy's perspective, but, you know, once you get to that stage of copulation and you look into her eyes and she looks satisfied, that's self-esteem boosting, because you know that you've met her halfway, she's satisfied and you're good. And then, of course, there's the other side. When you look into her eyes and she, you know, you feel like she's asking you, is that it? So that brings in the big undertone of that, which is communication and learning each other what you like, what you don't like.
Okay. And just bringing in the issue of eating and how, you know, a lot of fitness, a lot of, you know, changing your fitness level, a lot of it involves the food that you eat. Just from an eating plan perspective, where would you encourage someone to start by changing their eating? I know for me, the thing that worked for me was to cut down on processed foods, cut down on starch, and to cut down on sugar. Those three things changed my life in a tremendous way. What would you recommend for someone that's thinking of changing their life?
So I would recommend those, which you've just said. And I would also look at cutting out lactose, which is from milk.
Okay.
The thing that we like. Because really, after the age of 7, our body physiologically has no need for milk. And we actually lose the enzyme which helps break down milk in human bodies. But once we cut away, you know, get to that state of what you should cut out from your diet, I think we need to look at where do you want to go with it and what foods do you enjoy, what foods don't you enjoy, because this is supposed to be a sustained effort on your part. We're not trying to make it uncomfortable for you and your family. So it's not necessarily going to be a steamed broccoli and hake, which is a very
I did that in 2007 for many years, and I do not want to see steamed hake ever again.
It has its place. But yeah, so I think one of the things we'd do is look at what are the foods that you enjoy eating, and then try to tailor a eating plan around what you enjoy so that you actually stay in it. Because I think I'll speak on behalf of myself and my brother, who actually runs our personal training brand, K Game Fitness. It's a looking at what foods you like.
Mm-hmm.
And then drawing a plan from that, because there's nothing worse than somebody not sticking to the plan because it is steamed broccoli and hake. And then this person, you know, if they live in a household with other people, you want them to not feel like they always have to watch what they're eating, which actually you should be conscious of it, but it shouldn't be like calorie counting.
Mm-hmm.
I found
calorie counting very challenging.
It has a time and a place.
Yeah.
And I think once you get into a rhythm and flow of what is good, what is not processed, how do you feel after eating those foods? You feel light, you feel happy. Then you kind of figure out what you want to stick with and what doesn't work for you.
Yeah, and I also found that with the way that I eat now, I'm able to visit people's houses, or I'm able to go out somewhere and just pick and choose what works for me. But if you're on a very, very strict eating plan, you make it difficult for people to entertain you, because now you don't eat this and now you don't eat that, and that's not really what you want to do. You don't want to become the focus of attention at a place because, oh no, Cindy doesn't eat this and Cindy doesn't eat that. So, you know, that's why I find the low carb eating plan, you know, cool for me, because I'm able to pick and choose. Oh, okay, there's biltong, I'll have some biltong. There's cheese, I'll have some cheese. Oh, there's butter, I'll have some butter. I can make a plan wherever I am.
Yes. I have a friend who's actually vegan, and when we go out to eat and such, I always make it a point to look at how he assesses the menu or what he eats. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think subscribing to a very strict and stringent way of life, you know, even if it's for moral reasons, it does make life a little bit more difficult. So I need to think twice, am I inviting you over to anywhere? But also, yes, exactly to that point, is we're not trying to make you feel like you're out of place when you're going to your friends. I mean, even if it is going out for dinner with friends, it's a eat whatever it is that you're going to eat and then get back onto your healthy way of living. So I think if you're eating, call it 5 days of the week, you're eating clean and healthy, but you eating, call it dirty, for 2 days of those seven, I think that's okay, because you go back to your five-day eating regime. Whereas if you're eating unhealthy for 5 days of the week and then you eat carrot sticks for two, you know, that's also not going to be of any benefit or make a difference to you.
Okay. Albert Kendrick, coming back to you, you know, you're a fitness expert, and I'm sure you also give advice around eating. What kind of eating advice do you give for people to, you know, to help reach their fitness levels?
I like to start with the basics, like the gentleman who was mentioning, is very spot on. It's like which things that are probably not the best for our system, especially as we become aging adults. One thing we have to understand is that when we're kids, we have growth hormone in our system and we're developing. And although nutrition is very important, the human body is sort of amazing in the aspect that you can pretty much eat random stuff and candy and fast food and somehow still become a stronger adult, you know what I mean? But as you age, it does have a full effect on your body. Just like when you're a kid or maybe in college, you can get by on 3 hours of sleep and wake up and have a full day. As a full adult, that's much harder, much more difficult. So, you know, taking out things that may put a strain on our system, like lactose is really figuring out if you have certain allergies to different foods. I think that's key, and that's one of the things that with modern science we're lucky to do, because we're able to find out if people have maybe gluten intolerance or even just intolerance to certain hormones in foods.
Yeah.
You know, finding that balance between fat and sugar is key, the healthy sugars that we want to take in. But one of the things I've been noticing a lot is the amount, you know, eating organic. So let's say you still are taking in maybe what could be considered not the healthiest food. The more natural state, the more whole state, and the more organic the food, the better, because we don't realize the residual effects of the hormones that sit in our bodies, you know what I mean, from these growth hormones that are added to the foods. So I think it is key to know the food source and the quality of the food that you're taking in, because even sometimes being on a healthy diet, you know, whatever you want to consider that healthy diet is, you don't realize the quality and the source of your food and how many hormones or things that are in the food that's then affecting your system and sitting in your system and accumulating in your system. And that goes for alcohol too. And alcohol tends to accumulate in the system and may not be easily burned off, especially it has a big effect on your liver and gut health.
Yeah.
And so taking that out of your diet is one of the most noticeable factors I've seen for clients that are going to getting into shape.
Yeah, I must say that alcohol does slow down weight loss. And, a glass of bubbly here and there is nice, but I guess sometimes we overindulge.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And we're not saying you have to completely cut it out, but you want to understand that sometimes people go, oh, I have one drink a day or, you know, a couple of drinks every other day. There is some sort of accumulation of that alcohol in your system and in your gut. And just because you go to sleep and wake up the next day, it doesn't mean that alcohol was deleted from your system. You know what I mean? Mm. You have to have the products and the ingredients to break down. Just like you need that lactase to break down that milk, you know, you need that alcohol dehydrogenase, you know, enzyme to break down the alcohol. And certain people have higher and lower amounts of that. You need a lot of water to flush it out of your system. And your system just may not be very efficient at getting it out of your system, especially as when you were younger, as opposed to being older. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
and things that are very high in calorie that don't give the sense of fullness, like, for example, potato chips or french fries, ice cream, things like that that are really high in calories. But, you know, sometimes you could eat french fries and you could go through the whole entire bag of french fries or potato chips, and then you're looking at the bag going, I don't even feel anything. I want more. You know what I mean? And those kind of foods are really tricky. You know, when you're looking for that last french fry at the bottom of the bag and you find it and you're so happy, it just, like, changes your day. You know, yes, there's one more french fry, but you've had a whole entire, you know, container. So it is key to know that those high-calorie foods that have no nutritional content are not going to give your body that sense and that feeling of fullness, and then you're going to be craving and wanting to take in more calories, and you have to be careful of that.
Okay. So, Alfred, before we let you go, you know, first of all, you'll end up by telling us where we can find you, but I'd like two gems from you that can help us improve our fitness and then in turn improve our sex lives.
Okay, the best way you guys can contact me, you can contact me directly at alfred@fitarts.com. You can also just simply send me a direct message on Instagram, which is @fitarts. That's FITARTS. Mm-hmm. And those are pretty easy ways to get in touch with me, or my personal assistant will be in contact. And one simple exercise that I wanted to add before I go is that, you know, take the movement that you would be doing in the bedroom, whether you're male or female, and just do it with your clothes on, you know, baby by yourself in a room, and just kind of put up a stopwatch, a little timer, and just time yourself doing that physical motion. And it's kind of a fun exercise to assess where you are physically. You know what I mean? Whether
yeah.
you're the guy on top and you practice moving your hips and holding yourself up on your arms or your forearms, or whether you're a woman, you just practice riding and see, is that, are you riding for 15 seconds, 30 seconds? You know, it kind of makes some, you know, a little on self analysis on that situation. And I think it's a fun exercise that I have my clients do.
And you'll work out at the same time.
You work out at the same time, yes, but you can just kind of get an analysis on where you yeah. are, and you can compare, you know.
Great stuff. No, thank you so much, Alfred Kendrick. We'll definitely be following you on Instagram @FitArts. And all the best with the work that you do.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. And that is Alfred Kendrick. I'll be posting on my social media where you can find him on Instagram, and I'll also be sharing where you can find him on Facebook. So, Tsepo, before we wrap up, are you joining us on the Legacy Walk, the KFM Legacy Walk on Saturday, 12 October? It's 6.7 kilometers. You can run it.
No, I would definitely speed walk it. No, I'm running it. I'm not fit to do that. Yes.
Too much pressure. Oh, you're coming
yes.
through.
I'll commit to doing it. If I'm walking with you, yes.
Well, I'll be walking very slowly. I won't be speed walking, but yeah, we'll walk together.
It's fine. We'll finish it. It's fine. It's 6.7 kilometers for a good cause.
Great stuff. So where can we find you, Tsepo? Thank you so much for joining us. Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram. I think my handle is TK_KGameFitness. That's KGAME fitness. And on Facebook, it's Tsepo K Kame. So it's Tsepo K and then KGAME.
Okay, great. Now, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And yes, I look forward to doing a burpee by the 16th of December.
Yeah, 16th of December, but we can work out a plan for you to do it before that. It's just about being consistent.
I am not doing it before the 16th of December, but I can
try.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us on Sidebar, Cindy.
Let's talk about it. Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.